special Johnny and Chachi Christmas medley.
Yeah, she's quiet. Hi, I'm Johnny, and this is Chachi, and Merry Christmas.
You know, people all over the world celebrate the birth of our Savior on December 25th.
And there are hundreds, if not thousands, of very popular Christmas songs. And we wanted to sing 25 Christmas songs in under 2 minutes. We even have a counter here.
I'm not even sure we can do that.
No, I think we can. Let's give it a go.
All right.
Just hear those sleigh bells ringing, jing, jing, jingling. Deck the halls with boughs of holly. Joy to the world. It's beginning to look a lot like Grandma got run over by good King Wenceslas.
Hark how the bell sweets of a bell falls in the sheath.
Merry
Christmas is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, meek and of
dismay. I heard the bells on Christmas Day,
on Christmas Day, Christmas, on Christmas,
but your love came to me. A partridge in a pear, they told me it came upon a midnight clear. And do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear voices in your head, too?
No. What?
In the meadow we can build a snowman.
Frosty the snowman.
Up on the housetop. Click, click, click. Down through the chimney with
Johnny old St. Nicholas. Lean your ear this way.
Johnny wants a pair of skates.
Hey.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer
of a
had a very shiny
Christmas.
Nose. It's Christmas time in the city.
Let it snow, let it snow.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
Jingle bells, jingle bells.
It's the best time of the year. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a one horse open.
Feliz Navidad.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Well, there's a lot that goes with Christmas, and Christmas carols are at the top of the list, really. Years ago, going from house to house singing carols was a popular tradition. You don't hear much of that anymore. We did it 1 year. I think it was in 95 of my brothers. Everybody was together. It was the last time, first time in a lot of years, and the last time since then that all our family was together and our parents were there. And actually, now I take that back. It was 85. And at any rate, we went out saying Christmas carols, and it was kind of fun. But you don't hear about that. But you do hear the popular Christmas songs in church this time of year. And they're kind of ingrained in our season with these Christmas carols and that we sing. And several years ago, we had, what's happening? What's? Thank you. I'm getting all these, is that better? Pardon that commercial interruption there for the sound booth. Thank you, folks. Many years ago, the Christian station, The Fish, began playing Christmas songs right around Thanksgiving. I have noticed this year that most, if not all, of the stations as I flick through the radio are playing Christmas songs. That's what you hear, kind of in competition maybe. But as you walk through the stores shopping for Christmas, you will hear in the background Christmas songs playing on a regular basis. And many of the popular classic songs have nothing to do with Christmas, you know. I mean, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and some of the other ones like that. So a lot of the songs you hear are just kind of a Christmas feel to them. But when you enter the doors of the church, at least this church, you are going to hear Christ-centered Christmas songs. And as the shoppers listen to the songs and as we enjoy them and sing them in our services at this time of year, as we always do, I wonder how much thought is given to listening and to singing the songs that we sing. Some of the songs, though sung in church, are not exactly scriptural. Some of the ones that are tied Christ-centered, but when you listen to what they're saying, some have a little bit of scriptural meaning. Some are very rooted in Scripture, and some really aren't if you pay attention to them. But today I want to look at a few of those songs. talk about some of the songs, and I want to do that hopefully to gain a new appreciation for the words and the impacts the songs should be having, because I want to have them not just be songs that we sing this time of year because it's the right thing to do, but have them become songs of worship. Because I think I'm equally at fault. We just kind of sing these songs for a month or so, and they're kind of mixed in with some of our other songs, and they may not be worship to us. And yet, if you understand the history behind some of them and listen to the words, they can be, in fact, worship. One of the songs we sing is Angels We Have Heard on High. And the first stanza verse says, Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing over the plains, and the mountains in reply echo their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo. And your first Christmas present this year was that I didn't sing it. I just said it. But this song is in reference to Luke chapter 2, when the angel proclaimed the good news of the shepherds, the long-awaited Messiah had finally arrived. And we've looked at Luke 2 for the last couple of weeks, and it's very interesting what we've seen in that. But the words of the song are based on a traditional French carol known as Angels in Our Countryside, composed by an unknown author in France. The common English version we sing was translated in 1862 by James Chadwick, a Roman Catholic bishop. As I said, we've looked at Luke in the past couple of weeks, and the first verse of the song speaks of the angels who announced the birth of Jesus, and upon doing so, a multitude, a host of heavenly hosts began praising God and proclaiming glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And Gloria in excelsis Deo means glory to God in the highest. It's a reflection and a reference to Luke, where the angels proclaim glory to God in the highest. The writer is taking, if you would, poetic license versus scripture and proclaiming that the mountains echoed the joyous singings of the angels. But I don't think it's a far stretch. I imagine they did. This whole host of angels, I said in weeks past, it was like praise started in heaven and burst through to earth. This wonderful, wonderful praise we had. And God is clearly worthy of worship. And if we don't worship him, even Jesus said, the rocks will cry out. The very creation will cry out because God is worthy of worship. And so when we sing this song, we should sing it remembering that God, in fact, is glorious, that he is worthy of our praise and indeed is the highest God. There is no other God. There is no one higher, no other God, and nobody worthy of worship as he is worthy. He alone is worthy. And we stand on this side of the birth of the cross, on the birth of Christ, as we stand on this side of the cross as well. Meaning we stand after Jesus has come, after Jesus died, and after Jesus was resurrected. When the shepherds were tending their flock that evening, as they stayed out there in that evening, they were, if you would, in waiting. They were waiting for the Messiah. They knew of the promise of the Messiah. They knew that he was going to come. And all of a sudden, they have this angelic host and the sky lighting up, as we said in weeks past, with this wonderful presence of God. The glory of the Lord shines all around and lights up, and they proclaim this wonderful news that the Messiah has come. Little wonder they were overwhelmed and joyous at this magnificent proclamation. And our joy and our wonder should be just as fresh as well. Because we've had as many Christmases as we are old, and yet so Christmas, if we allow it, can become stale. But this birth announcement should be just as fresh and just as exciting. Because if it were not for that announcement, we, would still be in waiting. And if not for that announcement, we would die in our sins. We would not know of the birth of Christ. We wouldn't be waiting for the Messiah to come. And we would not have the hope we have, and we would have the law. So our joy, our excitement should be paralleled, if not more so. The song continues speaking of the shepherds coming to see the Christ child and to come on bended knee. And you know that invitation stands today? That we can come daily on bended knee before God. We can seek God on a daily basis. And daily we can make the same effort, do as the shepherds did, and stop what we are doing and seek God. And I wonder, in this busy holiday season, I mean, it's hard to stop what we're doing. We've got so much going on, so much happening, and so much planned, that the shepherds were busy as well, tending their flock, going about their daily work. They stopped. And they went and sought God, sought the Messiah. And we can do it as well. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And I see that always as twofold. I've always thought about that. Well, God promises to, you know, reward us when we seek him. As we seek him, we'll come into his presence. That's enough of a reward right there. Excuse me, but Scripture really says you first must believe that God is, and you must believe that he's going to reward you when you seek him. And you do it by faith. And so daily we can come by faith, seeking God to come into his presence and to worship him. So I'm going to have a little exercise for this morning. You're going to both exercise your legs and your voice throughout the morning. I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward as we've talked about these songs. And we're going to sing Angels We Have Heard on High. So we'll just stand together and join with the worship team. And let's do it this morning with a heart of worship. Let's do it with an attitude of worship that we're just not going to sing a Christmas song. We're going to sing worship. And if you need to sit, that's fine. You can do that as well.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria in excelsis Deo. Shepherd, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? What the gladsome tidings be, which inspire your heavenly song? Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria in excelsis Deo. Come to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, our newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria in excelsis Deo. See him in a manger laid, whom the choirs of angels praise. Mary, Joseph, lend your aid, while our hearts in love we raise. Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hopefully you truly entered into worship as you sang those words this morning, and maybe in a new way. And the next song I want to look at is, O Come All Ye Faithful. The title alone to the song should tell us it's been around a long time. We don't use words like ye very much. It kind of tells us, tips its head a little bit. There's a little, some dispute as to who wrote the song, and it's generally attributed to John Francis Wade in 1751. And O Come All Ye Faithful, joyful and triumphant. And notice that the faithful are the ones being called. It is true that the faithful should be the ones to come and praise God. The song calls them to come to Bethlehem. Bethlehem is where it all began, if you would. It's where Jesus was born. Come to the beginning of salvation. Come to Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread. And bread is a wonderful source of provision. And God is indeed is the one, the only one, who provides salvation to us. So come and worship and come with joyous strains. Speaking of Jesus, Acts 4:12 tells us this, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus is the only way, the only one, the only way. We know that of the truth of Christ. And a song calls the faithful to come and to worship joyously. And yet, while the song calls the faithful, we should be remembered that God calls all men all the time. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so we are the faithful, that knows us, we proclaim our faith in Christ, and we should come, but God calls all of mankind. And many will hear that song played overhead in stores. Many will even venture into a church and sing that song and not answer the call to come. To come joyfully, beholding the Christ, the Messiah's salvation. As we go about celebrating our Christmas this year, let's do so remembering that it is in fact a wondrous and incredible salvation that we possess. We can come daily. We can come beholding the King of Angels, the King of our lives as well. And we can, as we come, come and adore him. And the word adored means to love somebody deeply, to worship. And so we sing this, come, let us adore him. And it's just kind of a wording that we've heard since we were children in church. But we were to come literally loving him deeply, acknowledging that, coming as faithful one, acknowledging our salvation and the joyous salvation he's given us. So let's do that as we stand and sing. And as we sing, all you citizens of heaven above, you are citizens of heaven. Let's stand and worship our God this morning.
Come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing with exultations. Sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant.
O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
As I put this message together and prayed about it, I was hoping that you would really listen to the words as you sang them. It would take too long to go through every verse of the songs, and so I hope as we sing them, we do that. Just listen a little closer to what we're singing and mean it from our heart. My favorite song, for me personally this time of year, is O Holy Night. Not only is it well written, it's truly a song of worship as well. In O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt his worth. In 1847, a parish priest asked a French wine merchant and poet to write a Christmas poem. Adam penned the poem that 8 years later a musician turned into the song that we now sing that started as a poem. And of all the nights this world has experienced, and of all the nights that we have had since God created the world, the night that Jesus was born would clearly qualify as a holy night, the night the Christ child. And the word says, long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt his worth. What a line. Long lay the world in sin and error pining. That's a great picture of where the world was at. Long time waiting, waiting in sin, waiting in error, waiting in sin with the only hope of someday, somehow, a Savior would come and rescue you. Waiting in sin, fully aware of your shortcomings. The song says, in sin and error, pining. Pining means to yearn deeply, to suffer with longing, and to long painfully. We don't use the word pining very much anymore. But we know what it is to suffer deeply, to pine, if you would, inwardly, to suffer with longing. And as these people waited for their Messiah when it was penned, you know, before Christ, when they did it, as they went about their everyday business all too often, I know that they would and believe they would be made painfully aware of their inability to keep the law. They'd know of their shortcomings. They would be reminded of their consistent failures and had little hope with them. But on this one night, this holy night, the stars brightly shining, the word says the soul felt its worth. You know, all too often, you and I go about our daily businesses, and we too are made aware of our failures. We become aware of our weaknesses. We are reminded of the times that we fall and slip in the ways we don't meet up. We disappoint someone else. We let ourselves down. You let others down. You let God down. And you begin to feel like you're never going to get it all together. We've all been there. You begin to think you don't quite measure up like so-and-so does. And you get so aware of your weaknesses and so aware of your inabilities and your failings. And sometimes you think to yourself, I hope nobody really notices. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. It's all a facade. But we know in our hearts, we have that longing, that pining where we want to be, and where at times we just don't. Only this wonderful night tells a different story. This glorious night proclaims good news to you. This night reveals God's heart towards you and your infinite value in his eyes. The soul felt its worth. The soul realized that God said, you are worth it, that you have value, that no, you're not going to do it on your own, but I'm here with you. I have come to save you and to cleanse you and to make you whole and to put you on the path that I have planned for you. And so felt its worth, and a thrill of hope intervenes, and God declares you are worth coming to the rescue. And so we sing that song today, and it's just as relevant and just as important to us as if Christ's birth was announced this morning. The Holy Night reminds us that God so loved the world, including you. And 1 Peter reminds us that God has actually purchased us out of slavery to sin, not with something comparably worthless like silver or gold, but Scripture says, but with precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Truly, we should fall on our knees. Song tells us that he taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. That's a message the world needs to hear today. That's a message we need to hear, to be reminded of it. Jesus said in John 15, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. So we're called to walk in faith and to walk with our Christ. We're called to love like he loved and lay down our lives and be sacrificial towards others. Jesus said in John 13, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. He, in fact, did teach us to how to love and to one love one another and to live in peace. His gospel is peace. He taught us that. What a wonderful way to be reminded of it as we sing that song. Song says, chains are broken, slaves are made equal, and in his name oppression ceases. Well, that meant a lot to them when they had class distinctions far more than we did. They understood the differences between slaves and owners and all that was happening. Galatians 3 reminds us, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We come into this Christmas season and we sing these songs, and we sing this particular song. We were reminded the ground is level at Calvary. We come equally. We come with all our failings, with all our weakness, to a God that accepts us, loves us, cleanses us, makes us whole, and he alone is worthy. Let's worship our God with a holy night. Let's stand again this morning.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary soul rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, divine. Truly he
taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever. His was born. For night, O holy night, O night divine.
Truly a divine night. I'm struck that we will someday truly hear angels' voices because of that night and because of the birth and death and resurrection of Christ, that we will stand with angels and proclaim our worship sometime. That'll be glorious. Our last song we're going to look at this morning, we come to Joy to the World. And Isaac Watts penned this very popular song in 1719 based on Psalm 98. It's actually a hymn glorifying God's Christ's triumphant return at the end of the age. And it really was penned for his coming back, his return. And Psalm 98 is a joyous song. Verse 4 says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, burst into the jubilant song with music. And goes on, it talks about using instruments and worshiping our God. So when Watts penned it, he was talking about Christ coming back. That's what he understood it to be. And as the late 20th century, Joy to the World, as of the late 20th century, Joy to the World was the most published Christmas hymn in North America. This has caught on. And it's easy to see why it went from a song or a poem and then a song for his return to a Christmas song. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King, and let every heart prepare him room. The Lord has come in a manger as Savior and King. And the Lord is coming again. True today, let every heart prepare him room. And so when you think of the words of even all of the world to prepare your heart room for the Christ, that he is coming, he is coming back to be ready for it. He is coming again. He will rule the world with truth and grace. And the scripture says, as believers, we will reign with him. And the truth is, you cannot reflect truly on the birth of Christ without recognizing his death and resurrection. Because the birth was just the beginning of the promise, the fulfillment of God's word. He came as King and Lord. He was despised and rejected, hated and crucified. But it doesn't change who he is. Let every heart prepare him room. He is here now, and he is coming again. He is here now in the very presence of the believers. He lives and reigns within us. The word says, they never leave us nor forsake us. Romans 14, 10 and following says, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, that every knee shall bow before me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Philippians 2, 8 and following says this, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. As we celebrate and enjoy this Christmas, let us do so remembering that no matter the day, we are called to minister truth to others. That Christ is coming. He came once. He came in love. He is coming back again. Let every heart prepare him room. And know that as you prepare him room, as your busy season unfolds in the week to come, as you prepare him room, make that purpose to do that. And be reminded to look for every opportunity to let somebody know he's coming back. He came once, but it's more than just a little baby in a manger, a plastic baby in a plastic manger in a nativity scene. But the risen Christ is coming, returning joyfully, triumphantly, to capture us with him and to come back and rule and reign with him as well. Let every heart prepare him room and wonder at his love. Let's do that this morning, this last song.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Let's sing verse 1 again.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this season that we so enjoy and spend time with family and friends, and help all of us, Lord, to keep a heart of worship, to not let all the trappings and all the glitter and all the gifts and all of that get in the way of worshiping you. And help us to see this season with fresh eyes and with a fresh heart and a fresh awe of what you've done, that you did come, that you fulfilled your promise, and that we stand on this side of the birth, on this side of the cross, and that we give you honor and praise, and we worship you for that. As your people go, Father, and they spend this busy week, let your presence go with them. Let the comforter be upon them at all times. Let joy be in their hearts, and provision in their homes and worship on their lips. May your angels encamp about them and protect them and keep them in all they do as we give you the honor and glory this day and every breath we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a blessed week. We look forward to seeing you Christmas Eve. I want to thank the worship team for working so hard today. Did a good job. Amen. Amen. If you need prayer, please feel free to come forward. I'll be glad to pray with you. Have a blessed week.
If only in my dreams I'll be home for Christmas. Snow and mistletoe and presents all.